every time we think of you, we thank God for you. When the message we preach came to you, it wasn't just in words. Something happened to you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. Do you know that all over the provinces of both Macedonia and Achaia, believers look up to you? The word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the Master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We have a guest with us today, Alvin Battle, in just a moment. I'll allow him to introduce himself. But Alvin, several years ago, you came and spoke to our Methodist men at a breakfast. I'll never forget it, because I went home that day and I told Polly that I met someone that impressed me with their strong faith and commitment to share the love of Christ with everyone. But then I got to thinking about it. I'd seen you before. I saw you in 1983 on TV, national championship game, and your team won the national championship, North Carolina State men's basketball team. And I don't know, but there might be a few Wolfpack fans here.
I think we have a few. Go Pack.
Yes, yes. But you know, I just recently saw you again on TV. I saw you on TV at the White House. Yeah. And President Obama, could you tell us a little bit about that?
In 1983, our team, the entire team, did not get the White House. So Thurl Bailey, who's my roommate, played for the Utah Jazz. His son is a page of Orrin Hatch. And Thurl and Orrin Hatch got together and talked to President Obama about bringing the entire team to the White House. And it was over a two-year period of time. And the 1983 championship team normally had a celebration just to get together, a reunion. So we decided to have it in D.C. Back in May. And we met at the White House. We could bring a family member. I brought my my daughter, who plays volleyball at Virginia Tech. And we spent the day at the White House, probably about 2 or 3 hours, met President Obama, very nice man, very cordial. He's a big sports fan, so he knew all about each player on the team. I guess he did his research, but it was a wonderful experience just to meet him and to tour the White House and just to be there, being in front of the leader of the free world. So it was an honor to be there and just to meet him. And we met, of course, Vice President Joe Biden. He was there. And he started a foundation for his son, Beau Biden, who died of cancer, and they're teaming up with the V Foundation. So a lot happened that day. It was awesome. It was a good time.
Wow. How many of you actually saw that on the news? Just a little bit more about yourself, briefly. You mentioned that you had a daughter who played volleyball at Virginia Tech. I believe you had a daughter who played basketball at the University of Richmond. So sports runs in your family. But and I believe you're from Rocky Mount. But fill us in any more about yourself you'd like to share.
Covering me. Did I work at UNC? I wear blue, my little blue badge, every day to UNC. They treat me extremely well there, even though we have our controversies, don't we? We've got a game next Friday at UNC. And Friday is my red shirt Friday day. Every day at UNC, I revolt. But it's fun. But thank you. Thank you very much. UNC is a great hospital. The healthcare system itself is growing. We're part of 9 hospitals now, and I was in the banking industry for 25 years. Now, being in the health industry is exactly where I should be because it's dealing with people. And in 2014, I won the People Plus Award for just going and visiting our patients. And, you know, it was totally a surprise to me, but God has a way of putting you where you should be when you're in obedience. And serving people is one of the things I love to do today.
Well, thank you so much, Alvin. And I've invited Alvin here today to share his life message. Let me tell you a little bit about what a life message is. God has something he wants to tell the world through every one of us, and it has to do with our life message. There are four parts. And the first part really is our testimony, how we've come to experience God's love in Jesus Christ in a way that's very real. Alvin, could you briefly share something with us about your testimony of coming to know Christ as your Savior?
Well, my testimony normally takes about an hour, but we don't have an hour this morning. But I came to know the Lord as a very young man. I was 16 years old. July 1977, I became a Christian. Growing up in Rocky Mount, in the projects, in the Armstrong Project, little black boy with no future. But I had a grandmother who loved me. Speaking of grandmothers, it's coming in. But my grandmother basically raised me. And I was just out of control, to be honest with you. I was out of control. But she took me in, and school was right next door. And I couldn't make it to school, and it was right next door. But she loved me. That's the one thing I tell you grandparents. Never give up on your grandkids, because love and discipline will help them along the path. You know, a funny story, my grandmother told me, boy, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. And, you know, as a young kid, she did, but I needed it. It was something I needed as a kid. But we would travel back and forth between Nashville and Rocky Mount, going to a traditional black Baptist church. And one particular Sunday morning, it was those rebellion 16-year-old mornings. I didn't want to go. But she convinced me in her way. She was only 5 feet tall and about 5 feet wide, and she convinced me to go. And that's another story. So my grandmother and I went to church that Sunday morning, and she sat on the right side and I sat on the left. And it was a war, be honest with you. It was a spiritual warfare, because I did not want to be there, and she was praying for me. And our minister had an altar call, and it seemed like it took hours for him to go through it, but it was probably about 10 minutes. And one young lady that I went to high school with gave her life to Christ that morning. And it seems as though he continued on with this altar call. Someone needs to give their life to Christ. And I was in the back left-hand corner of the church. As a 16-year-old, I stood up and said, Pastor, somebody's already given their life to Christ. And the church just erupted. Here come the deacons, and everybody, sit down, son. Everything's going to be okay. And it was a war. It was a spiritual warfare for Alvin. And something kept telling me, it's time. I get emotional when I share my story, but because I know that I know that I know that I belong to Jesus Christ. And it was that morning in July of 1977. Not everybody gets to experience that particular day, but for Alvin, July 1977. And there was a conscience on my left saying, today is the day. And there was a conscience on my other shoulder saying, oh, just sit down. Don't worry about it. He does it every Sunday. You can come back next Sunday. Okay? He'll do the same thing. And that went on for me, seemed like an eternity. But that morning, I got up, I walked down the aisle, turned around, went back to my seat. And that conscience just kept right on, just telling me, Alvin, this time. And that time, my grandmother was in the right-hand corner of the church, and there were four ladies around her, and they were praying. And I gave my life. I came down, gave my life to Christ that morning. And my grandmother told me that I was praying for you, because I knew if you didn't give your life to Christ this day, that you more than likely wouldn't have, because I was going down a very dark path. And God turned my life around that day. From that day to this one. It's never been the same. Now, have I been perfect up until that point? Absolutely not. There's a lot of things that have gone on. That's part of being a Christian. But we grow. But that was the day I gave my life to Christ.
Well, we'll have to have you to come back and tell us more about your grandmother and about everything else. But, wow, that's really powerful. And, you know, that's really the first part of our life message is it's what we've experienced. We should be an expert on what we've experienced. And our testimony is just simply how we have experienced the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second part, though, of our life message, well, it's going to be hard for him to contain himself because he's passionate about so many things. Alvin has a godly passion for many different ministries. Alvin catches up to speed on what you're doing right now, the things God's laid on your heart, the godly passions that you have. I know one of them is prison ministry, but share with us what God is doing in your life.
Well, my godly passion, like William said, is ministry. God has all kinds of ministries that we can get involved with based on your spiritual gifts and your talents and your abilities. You know, I am that Ames type person. Faith without works is dead. Tell me what you're doing. If you're not doing anything, you may want to have a check with God and say, okay, God, what do you want from me to do? And in the same way, we talk about what do you do? At our church, we've got a couple hundred ministries, and I'm involved with several of them. We have a car ministry. I'm involved with that. I work on cars. People donate cars to me, and I repair them and give them away to people who really can't afford a car. And that's a ministry I started years ago just out of the blue because I like working on cars as a hobby. We have what we call our DIRT team, Disaster Area Immediate Response Team. The DIRT team is involved with the hurricane victims down east. We go down there. We cut down trees. We do clean-outs in their homes and involved with that type ministry. About 3 weeks ago, I started something called a wood ministry. Believe it or not, there are people in this area that still heat their homes by wood. And it's amazing when you put yourself out there, God will bring it together. Didn't know how I was going to start it. Even though I got trees in my yard that are 80 feet high, I can't cut those trees down. So my next door neighbor, I told him about it, and he donated a wood splitter. And another guy donated wood from property. And we delivered our first load of wood to a lady down in New Hill. She's 30 minutes away from us. And that's just one thing that we really don't understand, that people need help, and we just dig in and serve with them. Like William said, I'm also involved with the prison ministry at Wake Correctional. We go there every fourth Sunday. And Pastor Ray and I from New Horizons Fellowship, we minister to men. I'm also involved with the youth at Butner. There's a lot of boys there that need a mentor, need someone to look up to because they've gone down the wrong path. And they need to see someone that cares about them. Involved with the youth ministry at Chatham Correctional. Chatham Correctional is one of the worst I've been to. And it's public knowledge that there's one boy there that's 10 years old and he committed triple homicide. But he's 10 years old. Something's wrong with that boy. Something's wrong, but he needed to see someone there who loves him. And, of course, I'm there. I go there once a month just to visit them and to show them the love of Christ. And just remember, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We show them love. Another ministry I'm passionate about is divorce care. Tragically, I went through a divorce a few years ago. And it's one of the worst experiences of my life. But God has taken something that's so bad as a divorce and made it good, made something good out of it. Today, I mentor four men that have gone through the process. I didn't know them before, but they have started mentoring other men and how you get through the process. We've had men actually reconcile through divorce care. So that's another ministry that God has gotten involved with. Do you want me to keep going, William?
Well, we could bring you back again to share that. But you know what I've heard? What I've heard is God gives us spiritual gifts. We all can find out what those are. But there's always something that's just on our heart that we care deeply about. Or there may be abilities that we were born with. Some of you may know a lot about cars. I don't know the first thing about how to fix a car. I know how to break one. But we have our spiritual gifts. We have our abilities. We have the things that we deeply care about. And we have our experiences. And as Otis has said, God never wastes an experience, even an experience of hurt. If you give God your hurts, the things you've gone through, the things maybe that you don't even want to talk about, such as a divorce, if you just give God all your experiences, He'll take them and use them in some form of ministry and recycle the hurt into grace for someone else. So there's all kinds of ways that we can share with the world what our godly passions are. We'll bring you back to share more. Now, the third part about a life message is our life lessons. As we go through life, what has God taught us through all kinds of experiences? Now, I know you can go on and on about this too, but I've asked you, Alvin, maybe just catch us up to date with maybe some of the top life lessons that you've learned that you could pass on to us that we could glean from. You know, we can learn from one another's life lessons, and that's why we share them. So what are some of those you'd like to share with us today about your life lessons?
I want to go back to ministry. I left one out that's really on my heart. As you know, alcohol is a problem in our society. And for the past 7 years, I've mentored men at AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. There's two men that I'm working with that have been sober for one's 5 years and the other 7 years. Because personally, I don't drink. I haven't had anything alcohol to drink in 29 years. And that's something I decided not to do. And but God has taken those men, those two men, and changed their lives. They have given themselves to Christ. They have understood how detrimental alcohol is and what they can do to help someone else. So I love that ministry. We meet. I've heard hundreds of AA stories over the years, and I know how the program works. And I'm just so blessed to be involved with that ministry. But life lessons, there's so many I can stand and sit here and just tell you about. But the one is containing to marriage. Like I was telling you earlier, I went through a divorce. And my life lesson from divorce is trust in God, Proverbs 3:5, with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will guide your path. I have leaned on God because it was the worst time in my life. I almost passed away in 2006 from a staph infection, but it was even worse than that. I lost 60 pounds. I was in a state of depression. I lost contact with my two girls. And I can tell you, it was a terrible thing. And I know men and women who have gone through divorce, and it is horrendous. God says He hates divorce because He knows what it does to families. It tears them apart. And the longer you're married, the worse it is. It's generational. It doesn't just affect mom and dad, it affects the entire community, your family circle, even to the point, my situation, that it affected my NC State community, because my wife and I were the only couple at NC State men's women's basketball to get married, only one, still to this day, and now that's over, and it affected them in a negative way. It really hurt the NC State community. I had one of the ladies from our national championship team, when she found out that we were divorced, she actually cried. And her husband and I had to console her because it was such a deep-rooted community for our family. So the life lessons that I've learned from that, whatever you can do to save your marriage, save your marriage. And I know there's some men out here, you know, I was married for 25 years. My wife and I started dating in 1982, before the championship, okay? Lighten the load a little bit. Before the championship, so we know it was real. So it was tough going through that. But like I said earlier, today God has taken something so terrible and made something very good out of it. For 25 years, I never really had a relationship with my mom. And for the past 3.5 years, I have made up for 25 years. And she says, son, please stop. I love you anyway. But my mother and I are like this. We're close. And that's a gift that God has given me and to her. A son and a mother reunited. Did it take divorce to do that? I would hope not, but that's what happened. That's just my situation. But my life lesson I'll continue to tell and then spread the message of stay together as family. Keep your families together as much as possible. I know not every situation you're able to do that, but try as best as you can. And if you need help, there's always help. I'm here to help you. I've been through both sides of it, and I know both sides of it. And William and I can help you through that if you have any issues at all. Because I know at some point in your marriage, there's problems. I don't care if you ask anybody, there's problems. But how you work through those problems, God put you together for a reason. Okay? He ordained your marriage. But He gives us free will, gives us free choice, right? So if you can do anything to save your marriage, please do it. And that's one of my life lessons, and I think I have three more, but William told me we have a time limit.
You know, Alvin, we definitely have to have you back. There's so much you can share, and I'll just say this. There's so many things He cares about, and yet He finds time to be a father. He's deeply involved in the life of His daughters, very deeply. And one of my witnesses is, you know, we have Duke Day through United Methodist Men, which we take kids to a Duke football game. I invited Alvin to come along that year, and he brought some kids. I found out he was on the board of trustees at this school in Durham that is for disadvantaged children and youth. I think it's called the Durham Nativity School. But he has so many godly passions. And you did mention something I want to emphasize. If something's stirring up with you right now that you say, hey, I need help with that, please know Alvin will be available. I'll be available. Others will be available. There'll probably be some other people right here that could help you more than maybe I could. But we know that something good's going to come out of this. Now, the fourth part of a life message, and let me review, a good teacher always review, a life message consists of your testimony, it consists of your godly passions, and it consists of your life lessons, and then it consists simply of the gospel. We're called to share the simple message of the gospel with others. I call it an elevator speech. If you were to get on an elevator and somebody punches number 4, you know you're going to go to the fourth floor. And then they say, hey, you're a Christian, aren't you? You say, yes. And they say, well, just what is the gospel? Now, that gets me in trouble because we had to ride up and down the elevator a little bit more. But you got just enough time to get to the fourth floor. Alvin, what is the message? What is the good news of the gospel?
Well, I want to go back to number 3. One more.
Okay.
In 2006, I was telling you, I almost passed away. And one night in the hospital, I almost lost his arm. And I told God, okay, remember that, I told God, that doesn't work, okay, that if he allowed me to get out of this place, I was at Wake Med, and the big Wake, had 4 surgeries in 3 days to save the arm, I would never, ever step foot in a hospital again unless I was there to die for good. It was that traumatic. So because I told God that, He said, okay, let's see how we're going to work with this one now. But one of the ministries that I do today is visit people in the hospital. I spend more time sometimes in hospitals than I do at home. And I started a group at our church called the Caring Team. We care for people that are sick and shut in that are in the hospital, new moms, people that want to commit suicide, we go minister to them. I mean, just all kinds of things. It's called a caring team. I never in my wildest dream thought I would be a care minister because I didn't like visiting. One of the ladies in our church, she's 90 years old, her name is Miss Mary Bradford. She's in that later stage. And I visited her once a week at in Durham. And she lights up every time I walk in the room. And it's nothing that it's about me. It's about God. But my passion for elderly people and people that are about to go on to the next life, because we all believe there's an afterlife. There's something more than just live, eat, and die, right? And helping people transition to the next life. God put that on my heart. And he put that on my heart in 2006 when I was about to pass away. And it was really serious. My pastor, Pastor Ray, is funny because he visits people in the hospital. And for the first 5 or 6 years of the ministry, every time he visits someone, they died. So the church started telling him, don't visit anybody. Don't visit anybody, Pastor Ray. Please don't go visit anybody. So he walks in to the ER with me, okay? And I said, turn around, get out of here, Pastor. But he stayed, and we're best friends today. But testimony. The last part, the question... Brother Green, what was it again? Yeah. I'm sorry.
You know, what is the good news of the gospel?
Gospel. The good news of the gospel, I think you've already said, God loves you. But I can tell you this, God draws us to him. One of the things as a pastor, and I was ordained in 2012, that I've learned is that I can't save anybody. Alvin can't save anyone. God draws us to him. And that was freeing for me because as a Christian, you understand that what you're doing is planting seeds. There have been many times I've spoken at churches and only one person gave their life to Christ. Everybody heard the same message, right? They all heard the same message. But one person gave their life to Christ. There's many times I've spoken at prison that one person gave the life. That means that God drew them to him because everybody heard the same message. And I also believe that showing people love will draw them to God. Let me give you an example. I've got a friend that I played basketball with since 2004. He's a non-believer. He doesn't believe. But he and I, over the years, have just stayed in contact, and we're friends, and we meet every Saturday morning for breakfast. His father-in-law passed away about a month and a half ago, and he invited me over to his house with his family, and they're German. That's a whole other thing, German immigrants. There are WW1 survivors, kids, so they understood and went through the Holocaust. And terrible. But when when Steve introduced me, he introduced me as his pastor friend, and his mother-in-law and his wife was like, oh, wow. There was so much tension in that room because they didn't have anything to believe in. So I prayed about it as I was talking to the family. Within 10 minutes, we were laughing and having a good time about Manfred and his life. God has a way. There's an entire German community that God has been nugging on, touching, tugging on my heart to go minister to. So this one I'm having a tough time with. I really am. I'm having a tough time with it. But I know God will allow me to do it. Steve, eventually, my buddy, he will eventually come to know Christ. I believe that God will draw him because of something that God allowed me to do for him is to show him the love of Jesus Christ. And he knows I love the Lord. He sees that. He sees my pain. He understood all the things I went through with the divorce. He was there. And he asked me, Alvin, how in the world did you go through all this stuff? And I said, it's because of Christ. I said, if it wasn't for Christ, my life, I would not be here. I literally would not be before you. Because I would have taken my life. It was that detrimental. But Steve saw that. And for him to acknowledge me as his friend and as a pastor buddy of his and to his family, that was just momentous for him and his family. So there's another way. And the other way is love. And I show love. I share my testimony. I serve God wherever he allows me to. And that's my way of saying, okay, this is Christ. This is who he is, because we're his eyes, hands, and his feet. For I was hungry and you fed me, right? I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, right? Done it to the least of these, my brothers. You've done it unto me.
Well, Alvin, so very well said. You know, each of us has a life message to share. So your homework is to think about what's your life message. What would be your testimony? What are the godly passions that you have? What are your life lessons you could pass on to others? And how would you share the gospel? You know, every time I think about that last one, I realize how hard it is just to put it in a succinct little sentence. But here's how I would do it. Here's the good news. God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. He forgives us. He redeems us. And he equips us for a meaningful and full life of service in his kingdom. God shows us love in Jesus Christ. And that love is for all persons. That love is at work in the world and in every life. And when we come to experience the love of Christ in a way that's personal, convincing, and life-transforming, we can't keep it to ourselves. We have good news to share. Well, we have an invitation to share now, and the invitation is simply this. Alvin and I are going to be here to pray with anybody who would like to come. And we would like to ask you to consider, would you like to recommit your life to Christ? This would be a good day to do it. Perhaps there is someone here who's never, ever done it a first time, and that's okay. Or you just might want to say, listen, I realize I need to be sharing my life message, and I want prayer, so I'll be able to do that. So that's simply our invitation, and we'll close out with this song. However, I will say this. Alvin, what a delight it is to have you. Alvin and I are friends, and we had lunch this past week, and I want to say thank you. Let's give him a little hand clap.